Welcome, if it's your first time here, to Am I Aspie or Autistic? A podcast mini-series devoted to sharing the findings and experiences of people with an Asperger's diagnosis after the DSM-5 changed it to Autism Spectrum Disorder. I am Joanna Simmons, a psychology graduate, autism researcher and podcaster, but you can call me JJ, and in case you haven't heard from my accent, I'm also from New Zealand. I'm so glad you joined me today. So far in this series, we have learned about the various models researchers have made to understand how a person develops their identity, especially their disability identity, what the DSM is, and what changes it has undergone in classifying the neurodiversity known as ASC. And last week, we heard perspectives of people who were supportive of the changes. If you missed that, have a read of the show notes or dive back into that episode. As always, as we begin, I want to invite you to take a moment to check in with where you are and what you are doing, how you're feeling. Maybe as you are making your lunch or walking or driving while you listen to this, maybe you want to take notice of how you're breathing. Breathing in. And out. Notice if you're holding any tension anywhere and how the breathing feels as it moves in and out of your body. And if you like, you can take this time to do whatever you need to do to make sure our time listening here together will be as comfortable for you as possible. I wrote this episode on the land of Te Whanganui Atara in Wellington, Aotearoa, New Zealand, but I am recording this from Wurundjeri country, Melbourne, Australia, and I acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land of both of those places. Places where I have lived and worked and shared stories, and if you like, you can take this time to consider where you are, the traditional custodians of the land that you are on, and where have you lived and worked and shared stories and of their rich stories and identities. Since this podcast is about all of those things, I feel like it's all quite connected, huh? Okay, today we are going to be hearing from the perspective of those opposed to the changes to the DSM, as reported in the 2020 study by autistic researchers Olivia Smith and Sandra Jones, where most of this information for this mini-series is coming from. In the original study, the 12 people who were engaged with us received an Asperger's diagnosis, now known as ASD, or as we like to say, ASC, which I just almost confused with Australian rock band ACDC. According to the DSM-5, the people who we spoke to engaged in a semi-structured interview with the researcher at a place that was convenient to both people. Interviews went for 30 minutes to an hour, and participants received reimbursement for their time and the opportunity to see the results, the ones that we're talking about, later. During the interview, as it is about identity of the individual and really wanting to put the focus on the individual who is affected by the change, they were treated as experts in the subject matter. If I was talking to you about how you're feeling about your identity, it's not really up for me to assume anything. Ultimately, you're the expert, right? And so overall, the results found that participants were either supportive, opposed, or had mixed feelings around the changes to the DSM. This episode focuses on those people who were not so hot on the changes. Introducing the opposed. Overall, these folks relied on the science to support their opposing views. arguing that there are neuroscientific differences between autism and Asperger's, with Asperger's being the higher functioning, which I'm putting in inverted commas, higher functioning, and not involving the same impairment as autism. Hence why they were opposed to changing the diagnosis to ASD to bring the two together. As you will hear, much of their concerns surrounded beliefs that this change would result in greater stigma and that the Asperger's identity would be negatively impacted. For this series, the voices you are hearing aren't the actual people who were participants in the study or the words that they used in interviews. These have all been protected in order to maintain confidentiality. I have paraphrased what was reported in the published study by Smith and Jones to make their experiences come to life and maybe feel like a bit more understandable, bringing that academia to snackademia for you. All right, so here we go. Are you ready? Let's have a listen to those folks who were opposed to the change to the DSM. Participant 5 is a 40-year-old male who was in employed work at the time of the study. Can you tell us what led you to seek a diagnosis?
When my son was diagnosed, we were presented with a lot of information about neurodiversity. It made me reflect on my ongoing relationship difficulties, and I read what the information was saying to him, was saying for him, and thought, I wonder if this is me. Then, what do you know? I was right. The diagnosis explained a lifetime of challenges. I mean, all of my childhood interactions felt like an inside joke I didn't get. With the diagnosis, all of that started to make sense.
And what do you think about having an Asperger's diagnosis now?
It's embarrassing. I mean, at work, it is advantageous as it means I can remain emotionally detached from my demanding profession. But it's made my personal life difficult.
Thanks for sharing. I can hear that, and I really appreciate your honesty. So with this in mind, how do you feel about the DSM-5 changes?
I am against the DSM-5 changes. I'm against the DSM-5 changes. The label autism carries additional stigma and lack of understanding. Aren't people with autism those unable to work, communicate, or function independently? That's not me. I know that's not completely true. There are lots of people with autism who can communicate and work, but I think the broader public probably perceive autism the same way as I do. Merging the categories means that the intricacy of the Asperger's diagnosis is lost. I don't know if the word spectrum captures it.
Another perspective opposed to the DSM-5 changes is that of participant 9, who was also 40 years of age and employed. Can you tell us a bit about your journey to receiving a diagnosis?
I had a history of misdiagnoses. Actually, I was diagnosed with Asperger's on the day the DSM-5 was published. What a twist of fate. Receiving the diagnosis was a huge relief. Finally, the social, sleep, mood, and occupational difficulties I had been experiencing for most of my life had an explanation. Knowing this gave me strategies to manage these issues. However, it did kind of feel like receiving a diagnosis was having an identity forced upon me, like the diagnosis of Asperger's saved my life, but was also quite difficult to have.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing. And so how do you feel about the DSM-5 changes?
I am not a fan. Bringing autism and Asperger's together is like comparing apples to oranges. The changes have resulted in less clarity for those diagnosed, like me, who are probably going through all sorts of confusion about whoever, how, and who, and what they are. For me, the two are completely different because autism has a much larger impact on an individual's functioning than Asperger's. Science says that they are neurologically different. I mean, autism, it has kind of become a derogatory term. Also, these changes aren't really fair for people previously diagnosed with Asperger's because they may no longer be eligible for government support. They might get swept under the rug and their needs will be dismissed.
Participant 10 was diagnosed with Asperger's in early adulthood following a number of difficulties. He is a 44-year-old male who is working. So, how would you describe receiving the Asperger's diagnosis?
Well, it was isolating and liberating. Kind of opposite, I don't know. It gave explanations for past experiences and could explain certain traits to others.
And so what do you think about the DSM-5 changes?
It's retaliation against the growing power of those with Asperger's. I don't feel like the American Psychiatric Association had the authority to make such a decision. Like, they aren't experiencing things the way we are. I mean, autism brings with it a more global impact on functioning than Asperger's. People that have Asperger's are not necessarily autistic. My identity as Asperger's was like a lifeline. If that is severed, it makes it hard. The DSM-5 changes have done away with Asperger's identity altogether. Where are we left now?
What do you think about these perspectives, about what these people had to share? Coming out with any identity can be difficult or complex. I mean, though it's different to make an example, a few years ago I changed to a vegan diet. This meant that I had to let people around me who I would be eating with know that they needed to consider and navigate my needs for dietary preferences. Some folks needed re-education in terms of what sources or foods had undetected animal products in them. I had to answer questions from people around me who did not understand my choices. Sometimes their questions felt really loaded with their judgment about what and how I should eat. Sometimes they did that by making jokes or just kind of asking questions, and that was quite a difficult process. For these folks, they probably went through a similar process, except they received instead of choosing their diagnosis. It worked on a kind of grander scale. They had tried to come together to integrate Asperger's into their sense of who they are, only for it to then change. It is therefore understandable that these folks may feel that the changes threaten who they are. Given that they may have felt like aspects of their identity have been shaky throughout their lives, such as after encountering social and work differences compared to peers, finally finding the solid ground of an Asperger's diagnosis no longer called relevant or proper by a diagnostic manual must also feel threatening to how they live their lives. I mean, does that kind of trickle out to meaning that they aren't relevant or they aren't proper? What do you think about that? Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever felt like the way in which people have questioned how you're choosing to identify yourself, you can kind of feel that difficulty of maybe they don't accept or understand you? Have you ever found that when one label changes, that then it really diminishes the other one? Each week throughout this mini-series, we are gathering pieces of the complex puzzle that is identity. The perspectives we have heard in this episode aren't right or wrong. It is simply how the people feel. If I was to say, I feel hungry, you couldn't be like, no, JJ, you're wrong. Because that would be really upsetting. I don't know about you, but whenever I get hungry, it can be quite hard to process any other emotion. any change to anything is going to have differing perspectives about it. What do you think? Do you agree with some of the folks we've heard from today? Or maybe you know someone who feels the same way, or you know someone who has received an Asperger's diagnosis later in life and is still coming out with their identity. And if you're thinking, whoa, JJ, enough with the questions, I came to listen here. I am just wanting to add some provocations for reflection and discussion for you, dear listener. Food for thought, if you will. To extend the metaphor, I feel like we've got plenty we've covered here to sink our teeth into. And so, until next time, I hope you really allow that stuff to digest, and we'll come back to hear some new perspectives on Am I Aspie or Autistic? Thank you for joining me on this episode of Am I Aspie or Autistic? This series was made as part of the Winter Research Scholarship funded by the Australian Catholic University. Most of the information used in this series is from the research by Sandra Jones and Olivia Smith's 2020 paper, Coming Out with Autism, Identity in People with an Asperger's Diagnosis After DSM-5. Links to the original paper and other articles I used to write this episode are in the show notes. This podcast was written, edited, and recorded by me, Joanna Simmons, with the incredible vocal contribution of Lincoln Jones. Thanks to the support of Sandra Jones, Jennifer Lowe, Lisa Levy, and the team at ACU. If you want to share your thoughts of the episode, feel free to post a comment or review, share with a friend or family member, or write to us on autism@acu.edu.au. We would love to hear any questions you have and what this episode brought up for you.